Hello and welcome to the Gardening Talking newspaper for the month of May. It is produced by Vista. Telephone number 0116-249-8839. Items are selected and read by Pam Spokes, Val Reese, and today your recorder Ian will also be doing some of the readings. And I will begin as usual with "We love May for a breath of summer." May is popular. It is a popular month for weddings, though it was not always so. In fact, they were positively discouraged, as it was customarily the time for pagan orgies, which are not the best start to married life. In our more enlightened times, there is something very romantic about a radiant bride strolling through a garden laden with the first flowers of summer. The sun will be warm, small children will play, and the garden will look amazing. Brings a tear to my eye. Of course, they are words by James Alexander Sinclair.
Carol Klein has some suggestions for great plants for summer pots. There's something about growing plants in pots that gives you the chance to indulge your wildest ideas. We use pots and containers all around the garden here at Glebe Cottage. They add not only a wealth of interest, but also an opportunity to adventure and experiment that would be sadly missed were they not there. They afford the chance to put plants together in a very concentrated, focused kind of way, creating individual cameos, or, when the same pots and plants are used in numbers, making bold statements or rhythmic repetitions. If space is at a premium, container gardening may be the only way to indulge your planting fantasies and turn them into reality. In addition, because so many of them are portable, you get the chance to use pots as movable feasts, deliberately placing them where they can be viewed to best advantage at the right time, or ringing the changes, giving a new perspective to your plantings by juxtaposing them in different arrangements. I particularly like using big pots. They provide useful height, especially when raised, and if they're big enough, can accommodate monumental plants too. Some tropical and subtropical plants can put on enormous growth very rapidly, even though conditions must be frost-free before they're placed outside. Bananas, hedychiums, cannas, and some of the most exciting grasses, such as Arundo donax, the giant reed, all give an instant exotic flavour. Christopher Lloyd had an unusual container for the latter. He planted it in the well in the exotic garden at Great Dixter in Sussex. Both the plain and variegated versions are dramatic constituents for a summer container. Dahlias make ideal container plants too, with their lush and sometimes darkly dramatic foliage, and flowers in incandescent colours and extraordinary forms. Added to a tropical mix, they bring real brio. Most of these subtropicals are perennials, but there are many annuals, both hardy and half-hardy, that have dramatic impact when they're planted in pots. White Cosmos Purity makes a lovely wafty ingredient, and the red nasturtium, Empress of India, is perfect for the path along our hot border. Blue Love in a Mist, Nigella damascena, works well in our blue and yellow garden. Given space and good compost, one annual can produce scores of flowers. It doesn't matter if your container plants are bulbs, annuals or perennials, hardy or tender, as long as they're put together sympathetically and all enjoy the same treatment. You don't have to go for drought-loving plants, although, of course, many of these really enjoy the conditions they'll find in a pot. Artemisia, rosemary and lavender work well. Try a prostrate rosemary tumbling over the edges of a chunky terracotta chimney pot. The advantages of using hardy perennials are manifold. Most are easy to care for. If you choose plants sensibly, there is no need for staking. Occasional deadheading and the removal of dead leaves is all the tending they will need. They're a very cheap alternative if you use splits and divisions from the garden. Few of these perennials will be worse off in pots and containers than they would be in the ground, but go for those that'll enjoy being contained. As a general rule, fibrous rooted subjects, hardy geraniums and the like, are perfectly happy growing in pots. Tap-rooted plants, such as anchusa and verbascum, don't take kindly to being confined, unless they have ample room to send their long roots ever downwards. Perennials do what it says on the packet. Well chosen, they can last for years. They can be as impactful as any temporary show, and their possible combinations are myriad. Provided they're planted in containers of adequate volume in a loam-based compost, which will provide sustenance for a long time, they will give years of reward without the constant need to hoik plants in and out and renew compost. The idea of growing one plant per pot can be very appealing, providing the opportunity to take in its special character and qualities. I was given a few cuttings of special polygonums with vividly coloured and patterned leaves by my friend Jimmy Blake from Tipperary. Each made a magnificent plant, and the more they grew, the more individual and distinctive they became. Grouped together with pots of Ophiopogon planiscapus nigrescens, one of which even had fortuitously a seedling of Geranium phium samobor seeded in with it, the black splashes on its leaves mirroring the black of the other's fine leaves, they made a thoroughly pleasurable picture. We have a small stock of very handsome terracotta pots. Though their purchase seemed extravagant at the time, they have worked very hard for their living. They're probably Victorian, hand-thrown, and though I bought them in Herefordshire, they were made in Norfolk. They've been even more well-travelled since accompanying us to numerous flower shows, including several Chelsea shows. In the garden, they're used first for tulips standing along the slate and brick paths on the sunny side of the garden. Tulips and narcissi are grown in plastic pots and dropped into the clay pots at or just before flowering time. The same terracotta pots are used as covers for other plastic pots later, containing pretty perennials, astilbe, astrantia, hardy geraniums and their ilk. Loam-based composts are necessarily heavier than their multi-purpose counterparts. But if you can rise to the weightlifting challenge, or have plenty of strong, willing friends, or just leave your pots in situ for the season, your plants will repay you with strong, robust growth. Alternatively, multi-purpose composts are a popular option, and if their limited supplies of nutrients are supplemented by fertiliser, or by regular applications of liquid organic feed throughout the growing season, then results should be sterling. Using garden soil or your own compost may sound like a cheap and resourceful substitute, but both are full of pests and diseases. Fine when they're interacting as part of a system in soil in a bed, but problematic in a pot. Don't forget that plants in pots rely on you for their survival, whether they're annuals, perennials, or shrubs. They must be kept watered and will benefit from an occasional liquid feed, preferably with a balanced organic fertilizer. It may seem cavalier to extol container growing when we are also drought conscious, but there are simple ways of minimising the amount of water needed. Both lining ornamental pots with plastic, compost bags with a few holes are ideal, or planting into plastic pots to drop down inside more decorative outer containers help retain water. Many of the plants that we use in our containers are grown from seed, which is mainly collected from the Glebe Cottage garden, so outlay is small. Though deadheading is important to maintain flower production, it's worth allowing a few flowers to set seed to collect. You won't be able to suppress a smile of satisfaction when you look at one of your containers in its late summer glory and recall that you grew everything in it yourself.